First readings from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 9, and taken from the NIV Bible. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, and without a cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
And the second reading is from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and this is from the NIV Bible as well. Repent or perish. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Leon and Audrey, for our readings. A few years ago at New Wine, we had renowned preacher R.T. Kendall who came, and he had a lovely way of praying before he preached, so I'm going to use his powerful prayer. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, may the blood of Jesus be sprinkled upon every person, upon every mind in this place, that their perception of what I say may be heard, received, and applied as you intend. Let our thinking be clear. Cleanse my tongue, that I may be your transparent instrument, to say everything that needs to be said and nothing that doesn't need to be said. Enable me to preach this as though it were the first time. Help me to be very simple and very clear. May this word be life-changing, that literally every person here will never be the same again, and may it bring great honour and glory to your name. Amen. I've always liked his prayer with great emphasis on the Spirit working in each of us as I speak and as we all listen. This week in Norwich, apparently petrol was on sale at £1.99 a litre for the first time. The price of fish and chips has been going up, prices rising, even in Lidl and Aldi, would you believe? The cost of oil and gas and electric, everything's going up, isn't it? Now, I expect that most of us can probably manage and get by if we're careful. But there's also no doubt that there are some people with less who are really going to suffer. Our two readings today are really two messages to us from God, an invitation and a warning. Isaiah 55 is an invitation to the thirsty and the hungry to come and drink and eat their fill. But amazingly, everything is free. With prices going up, we need that now, don't we? What an offer! What an incredible, generous God. Wine and milk, the best bread and the richest of fare, without money and without cost. It's a bit like being given a trolley dash around the king's finest banqueting table. Grab what you want. It's all free. It's all on offer. And God speaks through the prophet Isaiah and recalls the glory days of Israel, when King David sat on the throne and when God promised that David's kingdom would last forever, that there would always be a son of David ruling the kingdom of God, an everlasting covenant based on God's faithful love for David. And then when we come to read the Gospels, we discover that Jesus was descended from David. His genealogy is charted, isn't it? That Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. That Jesus delighted in being the son of David, who would rule forever. God's promise is fulfilled in Jesus. So whenever a Zionist preacher in America says that God promised there'd always be a king on the throne in Israel, and therefore we should send guns to support Israel, please note when you hear that, the Old Testament promises of God are not fulfilled by Old Testament warfare. They're fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is the Son of David. The Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. And we are New Testament Christians, and we follow Jesus Christ, the King. Then in verse 6, Isaiah calls out, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Don't wait, Isaiah's saying. Don't put it off. Take the opportunity now while he's offering it to you. I know sometimes people put it off, thinking, oh, I can always make a deal with God later on. Later may never come. We used to pass a Victorian clock on the town hall, and over it was a Bible verse, "It is time to seek the Lord." You'd look up, you'd see the time. What time is it? Oh, it's time to seek the Lord. I love the Victorians and their Bible inscriptions over things. And Isaiah continues, "Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Why should we turn to God, Isaiah? Well, because he is merciful. And although we have sinned against him, although we've done wrong in his sight, nevertheless, he will forgive us, he will freely pardon us. He is merciful, and he offers plenteous redemption. And Isaiah concludes our reading with another reason why we should turn to the Lord. God's not only mercy and forgiveness, he is also truth and wisdom. He will guide us. He will show us the right way, the best way to live our lives. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So come, all you who are thirsty. Isaiah 55 is a generous invitation to come to God and to receive his goodness and his grace. Our New Testament reading, on the other hand, Luke 13, is a warning, an invitation and a warning. Repent or perish. Maybe you've heard people discussing the news about Ukraine and coming up with ideas and suggestions, what they should do. Why don't they do this or do that? Well, it's easy for us to speculate. It's much tougher for the people on the ground. And so it was in Jesus' day too. Tragedies were happening and people were chatting about them and speculating who was to blame. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, who sentenced Jesus to death later in the gospel story, he gets a walk-on part here, halfway through the gospel story. And historians tell us that Pilate was a nasty piece of work. There are several accounts of him deliberately treating Jews cruelly, and perhaps even enjoying the sport. And here, in this story, people had come from Galilee to Jerusalem to make sacrifices in the temple. Perhaps it was Passover time or something like that. And for some reason, Pilate had them killed on some pretext or other. And their own blood had flowed together with the blood of their animal sacrifices. And for Jews, that would have been especially offensive. They were forbidden to mingle blood and so on. But it was probably to Pilate's satisfaction that the Jews were offended. And so the people came to their rabbi, to Jesus, to this new preacher that they'd heard about, and they told Jesus all about it, probably asking, what are you going to do then? Perhaps they asked, why didn't God intervene? Why hasn't he come and saved us? Were these Galileans perhaps so sinful that God sent judgment on them? Did they deserve it? Jesus is very clear in his answer. I tell you, no. But he goes on to teach a further lesson, as he does so often. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Well, Jesus, there's a second tragedy. Those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? Jesus replies, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. So Jesus was warning the Jews to recognize God's Messiah and repent and turn to God before it was too late. And God calls Caesar to come and brutally put down Jewish rebellion. It's a prophecy from Jesus. And in AD 70, the Roman legions did indeed come and sack Jerusalem and destroy the temple, and it has never been rebuilt for 2,000 years. Do we have an equivalent warning today? We might think immediately of Vladimir Putin, mightn't we? But I think global warming and climate change is more of a warning to us. Unless we repent of our consumer culture, our self-absorbed consumption of the planet, we too will perish. The Gospel of Jesus is an invitation to drink freely, which we should not ignore. The frequent storms, the changes in the creation which we see all around us, are a warning that unless we repent from worshipping mammon, we too will perish. So don't point the finger at others, says Jesus, but look to yourselves. The parable of the fig tree is another memorable story because Israel was often depicted by the prophets as a fig tree or as God's vineyard, his pleasant planting. And figs were often grown in vineyards. It was good for the grapes. And again, this is a warning from Jesus to the Jews. God is looking for fruit from his people. He even mentions 3 years, the time of Jesus' public ministry. Will you recognize your Messiah? For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig round it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So what fruit does God seek from us, his people, here today? Are we living out the commands of Jesus? Are we reading the scriptures, praying, staying close to our Lord? Is his Spirit overflowing in our daily lives, producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on? Are we sharing the good news with those around us? Are we tithing, giving generously to God's work and to those in need? Freely you have received, freely, freely give. Are we seeking to bring God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven? All these things, these are not works of the flesh, attempts somehow to win a place in God's presence. That will never, ever succeed. But they are evidence of love for God. The proof of faith, as we heard last week from John Pitts and the letter of James. So let us not grow weary and lose heart, says Hebrews. It's very tempting to point the finger at others, to imply that the fault is with them and not with us. But Jesus' invitation in Isaiah and warning in Luke, they're a warning to us to look to yourselves and to your relationship with God, your Saviour. Trust in him alone. Repent in Lent and draw close to him today. I'm going to read a prayer which is from the Leading Your Church into Growth course, which we're going to be doing after Easter, a prayer for growth. God of mission, who alone brings growth to your church, send your Holy Spirit to give vision to our planning, wisdom to our actions, joy to our worship, and power to our witness. Help our church to grow in numbers, in spiritual commitment to you, and in service to our local community, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.